Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
But what I'm going to talk about this morning is how our plans, and when we show up here on a Sunday and we experience God's goodness and His love, we cram it in, and it's just on this Sunday. What we're doing is taking His love and His goodness and all this, and we're putting it in our little box. See, if it only lasts and it only happens on a Sunday morning, I'm here to tell you something. It ain't real. It ain't real. Because God's love, God's plan, God's goodness don't fit in no box. That's what I'm talking about. My man, Sethy, he was in first service too. That's the funny thing is first service, they got a different message than this one, but it's similar, so don't worry. Listen to the podcast. If we record both, I get distracted. But here's the deal. Our plans, too small. Our box ain't big enough. Our plans ain't, it's just not, no. Sorry, can't do it. Because see, if we show up here and we think we're going to take all this experience and we're going to put it in our box, the only thing fitting in your box is your idea of His love, your plans, what you want to experience. That's all that's going to fit in there. Not God's true love, true grace, true goodness, because it surpasses all understanding. So quit trying to understand it and start to experience it. Oh, you ain't never going to understand it. Yeah. Tell the truth and shame the devil. My goodness. His goodness, not my goodness. His goodness. My goodness ain't nothing. Catch myself every once in a while. Not my goodness. His goodness is great. It's wonderful. It's huge. It's massive. Because here's the deal. If you would have went up to Noah, right? The dude, the old dude in the Bible. No disrespect. I got lots of respect for the dude. The man. Sorry. Dude, man. That's what I say. Anyway, the brother. If you went up to him and said, all right, there's a flood coming. There's a bunch of water, okay? And I need you to build a boat so you survive. I guarantee his plan for a boat was not going to be as big as the boat God had planned. You hear me on that? You understand what I'm saying? Your plan, God's plan is bigger, is better, and it includes more than you think. See, it's awesome. Our church, our plan, 2 services. God's plan, 3, 4, 5. 1 Saturday night, 2 Sunday morning, and 1 Sunday evening. I don't know. Maybe I'm prophetic. I don't even know. I'm just out here saying things. I'm just spitting fire. That's what I'm talking about. Let's go. God's plan, bigger than our plan. And His true love, His grace, and His goodness, when it fills us up and we experience it, it changes us. There's one thing. My dad has been in ministry way longer than I have. Way, way, way longer. No, I'm kidding. That was a joke about his age, if you didn't get that. Anyway, just don't tell him. No, he's been in ministry way longer than I have. And there was something he always told me. He's like, true converts, they're fun. He said, they're inspiring. He said, they're the greatest. And I didn't fully understand it till I got one. Oh, my boy, Sethy. Man, if you don't know Seth, you should introduce yourself. He's a good kid. Perfect? No. I work with him. I know him. He ain't perfect. Just like me. I ain't perfect. I can't point fingers. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. But my boy, Sethy, goes to youth convention. Well, for those that don't know, it's a convention of youth. And thank you. Appreciate it. I was going to say, if that one didn't land, there's just a moat of dead jokes that just landed in. But that one made it. All right. Cool. We're vibing. It's the piano. I got to be honest. The piano saved that one. But my boy shows up. There's an altar call for salvation. The man responds. Dude goes and responds to the altar call. All of a sudden, I hear that next week from students that were at school. Oh, man, you should have heard Seth. At school all week long, he was telling kids, guess what I did this weekend? I gave my life to Christ. I don't do that stuff anymore. I can't do that anymore. I gave my life to Christ. I went to youth convention. It wasn't a party on Friday night. It wasn't guess what girl I slept with this weekend. It wasn't guess what drugs I did. It wasn't guess what party I went to. It wasn't guess what band concert or whatever it is, movie, whatever it is. It wasn't that. It was I gave my life to God. Now, yeah, we can clap for that. Come on. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Oh, come on. I'm feeling it this morning. Something's different. I'm feeling it. Lord Jesus. Shirley, God bless you. I just want to let you know that. Sorry, I was feeling something right there. I don't know what you're going through, but God bless you. God's got you. I want you to know that, Shirley. God's got you. I don't know what it is, but something. I don't know. God's got you. Trust him. Trust me, I ain't trying to be weird. I don't do that kind of thing. That was just, I don't know, out of this world. Supernatural. God's good. No, but see, when we experience God's goodness and his love, oh, it overflows. When we respond. See, there was an altar call, and he responded. See, every time we show up to church on a Sunday, on a Wednesday, on a Tuesday night Bible study, that is an opportunity for us to respond. And when we respond and we get real with it and it goes beyond just the altar, it goes beyond just the pew, it goes beyond those doors, it goes beyond just in your house, it goes beyond just the words on the page that you read in the Bible, and it starts showing up in your life, oh my goodness, not my goodness, his goodness. Tell the truth and shame the devil. When we experience that love, all of a sudden, I'll tell you what, your plan, you wake up in the morning, you show up to church, you come and find your seat, you sit down. God's plan, you show up and you're fighting to find your seat. You ain't going to sit in the same spot every week because you're like, oh no, I got to get there early. Somebody's going to steal my seat again. Guess what? Your plan is church is going to end 12:15 for second service. Although I gave myself that extra 15. So, okay, just relax. That's the plan. We'll just go with that. Okay. Your plan. Get started at 12:15. I got time. Run home or go out to lunch with all these people. I got a lunch appointment I scheduled for like 12:30, 1 o'clock. I'll just drive, you know, walk, whatever I do, and get there and have fun. Eat. It's good. Get home. The roast ain't burnt, you know, turkey, whatever you're having. I don't even know. Do people even eat around the dinner table anymore? I don't even know. I know I don't. So here's the deal. That's your plan. God's plan. Oh, there's a traffic jam. I'm running late. Oh, my word. The roast is burnt. I'm going to miss my lunch appointment. Oh, man. Guess what? You wouldn't miss your lunch appointment because they're in the car behind you because you brought them to church first. Oh, that's God's plan. That's God's plan. If I'm talking too fast for you, I'm sorry. It's the Red Bull. Don't blame me. There's a podcast. You can, like, play it in slow-mo later on, maybe. I don't know. We should get that. Add that. Take a note of that. That's a feature we want. Okay. Slow-mo on the podcast for when I preach. Because I'm spitting flames right now. Oh, he's typing. We already have that. Slow-mo? And speed it up. We don't need to speed it up, man. I'm already. But now that I know we got slow-mo, we're getting it in. Oh, letting it fly. Still don't know what it means, but I like it. See, his love, his goodness shows up. Transforms. Renews. Create something different. Oh, man. Pretty soon you're going to be telling people what you did this weekend. And it ain't going to be the movie. Ain't going to be the party. Ain't going to be, oh, hey, I actually got to bed at 9 o'clock, which is what I want. I'm telling you, sleep, man. Sleep is good. When I was little, I wish I would have taken advantage. Anyway. His love, his goodness. It pours out on us and causes us to have a love for people that goes beyond ourself. We ain't worried about ourself anymore. We ain't worried about it. We're focused on loving other people. Because see, if God can get it through you, he's going to keep it coming to you. Like a river. That was my river motion. It's more like a salmon, but you know, whatever you want. That's an ocean. We're going river, okay? It's a little wiggly little bend in the river, around the river bend. Anyway, I'm getting distracted. Let's go. Like a river. Because if it gets to you and it stops, you know what that's called? A swamp. Smells bad, people throw their trash in it. Is that what you want to be? I don't think so. You want to be a nice little river that everybody loves. So pretty. Nobody's throwing their trash in it. Except for those one knuckleheads anyway. We won't get there. No. Be a river. If God can get it through you, he's going to keep it coming to you. And what that means is God's going to pour out his love on you and his mercy and his grace, and it's going to flow through you into the people around you. There's the story about the man who was forgiven of his debt. I think we heard about it last week. Forgiven of his debt. But then he went and he didn't forgive someone who owed him, even though he was just forgiven. You know what we call that? A trash bag. See? Trash builds up. It's like when it stops at you, it's trash. It's garbage. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm spiritually insulting the man. But see, if he would have forgiven, oh, then it's going. Then it's going. It's flowing. God's love. God's mercy. And it starts going to the other people around you. Oh, man. It's good. It's great. It's awesome. The burden for the lost. The burden for the lost becomes so much greater. Because, see, the beautiful thing about this church, and I want you to know this, is you do not have to believe to belong. If you're here this morning and you ain't sure about what you believe, you're welcome. You're here. Don't feel cast out. Don't feel isolated. You're here. We love you. Welcome. Enjoy our coffee and the treats that are out there. Whatever you want. You want to come talk? Let's talk. Sports? You like the Cavaliers? Me too. LeBron? He's the best? I know. Had to throw that in there. But see, you don't have to believe to belong. Working at Callers has been so much fun because it's like a real world job. I've never had one, at least around other people. Any other job, it's always been like me alone doing something. This one, it's like a team of people. It's so much fun. And they ask me questions. The other day, I got asked a question, and it was in front of a group of people, and we were working. We weren't clocked in yet. I promise. No. They asked me a question, and one of the ladies said to me, she's like, "Do you have to go to church to be a Christian?" I said, "No." I was like, "Come on." I was like, because it works in opposite. Because I know a lot of people that come to church and tithe, but they ain't Christian. Sorry. If you're offended, don't take it up with me. Or you can. Write a letter, throw it in the trash. Appreciate it. Saves me the time. No. That's what I told her. Because I said to her, and this was a good one. I got to admit, this is good. This is going to make you laugh. If you don't laugh, then it lands in the moat. So laugh, please. Because when you go to Krispy Kreme, it doesn't make you a donut. Right? Just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a Christian. It's getting that love, that goodness, that grace that transforms you. But realize it don't stop there. Because I think about it. I talked about this on a Wednesday night. A heavenly pat down. Like a TSA, you know, you're getting on a plane type pat down. You're at the pearly gates, as everybody likes to say. You're at the gates. And they got the wand, and there's like an angel there, and he's just like, you know, buzzing you down, patting you down. All of a sudden in your pocket, oh, hey, there's a dream here. There's a dream. Oh, hey, this is an opportunity that you had to reach somebody. I don't want to show up. Sorry, I won't yell. The piano, it calms me down. Makes me feel good. I don't want to show up to heaven with a dream that I never dreamt. I don't want to show up to heaven with the missing piece, the missing puzzle piece to somebody's salvation because I didn't take advantage of the opportunity. I do not want to be stagnant water. I want to be a river of life. I want to be a fountain. I want to be a hose. I want to be a fire hose. I want to be like three fire hoses taped together. Not that tape would really hold them together, but in my mind it works, okay? Maybe gaff tape. That stuff's the best. Josh showed me that. Oh. Gaff tape is the best. Tell the truth, shame the devil. All right. No, I want to be just Oh, if God can get it to me, man, it's going through me. It's going through me. I'm getting it to everybody I can. I'm sharing it. I'm giving it because I love people. Not necessarily because I actually like them, but because God loved me first. Because God loved me first. And it's that grace and that goodness that I want to share with other people. Because none of us deserve this opportunity. None of us deserve the opportunity. That's what's so beautiful about grace. Undeserved forgiveness. He saves us. He saves us. He helps us. And a lot of the times, you never know what someone's going through. You never know. I heard a public speaker say once, if you got a name, you got pain. It's true. All of us got a story. All of us got pain. All of us got something. And here's the thing. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what other people have been through. It's the beauty of working with people that I've been able to experience. Somebody wrongs me and messes me over. That's a nice way of saying what I really want to say. Someone messes me over, does something wrong, hurts me, offends me. My first thought should be, it's not always this, trust me, for those that know me, come here. No, I'm just kidding. My first thought should be, what are they going through? What caused them to do that? I don't know what their home life is like. I don't know what their marriage is like. I don't know what their relationship with their kids, with their mom, their dad. I don't know what's going on in their life. That's why a lot of times on a Wednesday night, if a new kid shows up, oh man, they spend their whole time on their phone. They plug in earbuds and listen to music the whole time I preach, or they sleep all the service. I do not care. It's not going to stop me. Please, come on. I preach no matter what. I don't care if you're listening. No, it doesn't matter. Because guess what? If that is the only time they get sleep because when they get home they're scared and they can't sleep at night because they're scared what's going to happen, then let them sleep there. I don't care. It's a safe place. If they're texting on their phone the whole time, maybe that's because they're getting attention from whoever they're texting because I'm not showing them the attention that they deserve there. There's always something I can do. There's always something I can do. But see, you don't know what somebody's going through. Their pain, their story. And I got a funny story for this. Of course, it's funny. You know, it's always got to be funny. Now, y'all are going to judge me. I'll warn you now. You can judge me all you want. I don't care. I'm confident in who I am for the most part. Sometimes. Don't be too harsh, all right? I got to be honest. I'll just backtrack right away. Don't judge me too much. Anyway. I'm a nerd. I'm a geek. I like video games. Second to liking video games, I like watching people play video games. Now you know I'm a nerd. And you can look this up on YouTube. You can watch people play video games. The biggest YouTuber in the world plays video games, and people watch it. And the dude's like a million, billion, trillionaire. So, anyway, you think that's hilarious. You think that's crazy. Trust me, I could give you some of the stats on the money that professional video game players make. You would be astonished. You'd be like, wow, I could be playing video games and doing this? Anyway, done with that tangent. Back to the story. Story time. I love story time. See, I'm watching this guy play this video game, okay? And he's got a face cam up in the corner, and you're watching the gameplay as well, all right? Like I said, don't judge me too harshly. He's playing this game. And the reason I love watching these types of games is because they're like a movie. They're like a movie, and you get to make the choices. Now, I don't. The person playing the game gets to make the choices. But the choices you make affect the outcome of the game. Like, it affects the whole story. There's multiple outcomes. There's multiple things that can happen. It's literally like a movie. It's awesome. Like, I think it's cool. Sorry. But you get to make the decisions. Like, no joke, sometimes they're very serious. Like, this person could live, this person could die. Choose the right choice. Or maybe it's because, you know what, you're like, you might be able to choose, like, if I say this right, then she'll fall in love with me. Like, you know, you get to play the game, and it's just so much fun. But then also, if you do something wrong to somebody, then when you cross paths later on, then they'll mess you over, and then you'll be up a creek without a paddle, maybe literally, depending on the story. And it's so much fun to watch. And so this guy's playing this game. Realize these games are about as long as a movie, too. Have any of you ever read a book and cried? Like, at some point in the book, hands, please. Don't just nod. I'm going to need hands. Okay, some of you. Movie, have you ever cried during a movie and or TV show? Okay, more hands for that one. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm not the only one. I cry semi-often. Okay? And so I'm watching this game and realize you're so invested. You're the one making the choices. It's like you're the main character. And this guy's playing the game and he's getting to the end of the game and there's like one final decision you make and it's like your best friend father figure is going to die or you get to save like an entire town of people. And it's like, oh, come on. And guess what? They give you like 10 seconds to decide. Like, come on. How's that fair? I have to spend a week just making that one decision. That's ridiculous. Then you got to weigh it out. I get the whiteboard out and anyway, okay. I'm kidding. I'm not that big of a nerd. You just close your eyes and click one. No. But he's playing this game, and I'm watching the gameplay. I'm not watching him, and I'm watching the gameplay, and I'm like, what's he going to pick? I don't know what he's going to pick. This is going to affect the whole outcome. Oh, my word, we've grown so attached to this person, yet are you going to be the good person and save the town? What are we going to do? All of a sudden, the game pauses, and I'm like, what? And then I look up at his face cam, and the dude's crying. The dude's over a video game. The dude's crying. It's not even real. And the dude is literally like man tears, like the swollen eyes. I'm telling you, ugly, ugly cry. I'm telling you straight up, this dude's crying. I'm sitting there like laughing. I'm like, come on, dude, don't be a little man about it. Like, don't, come on now, man up. Don't cry, it's a video game. Get over yourself. So like a week later, I'm playing the game. And I'm playing it, and I get down to the final decision. What am I going to choose? And you grow development, like you develop this attachment to the characters, and you've made all the decisions, and you're going through it, and you put in the hours, you put in the work, and you feel attached to these people. You feel like you're the character. Next thing I know, my game pauses, and I feel a tear roll down my cheek. And I'm like, come on, man up. It's a video game. What you crying over a video game for? Like, this ain't real. Get over yourself. But in that moment, I realized something. You never know what somebody's going through until you're going through it. I was making fun of him. I didn't know why he was crying. I didn't understand it. I thought it was dumb. Until me, myself, and I put in the time, put in the work, grew the attachment, and played the game. The same thing with people in our lives that we cross paths with. We don't know their story. We don't know what they're going through. I used to think it was the dumbest thing when people would cry over a breakup. Because I was like, just move on. More efficiency. Until I went through a breakup. Man. Then I understood. Then I got it. That's why you never know what somebody's going through. Somebody wrongs me. Somebody does something to me, man. And I'm like, I'm just like, man, oh my word, and I get my buddies around, and I'm telling them, and I'm like, this person did this to me, they wronged me, they offended me, oh my word, and my friends are looking at me like, yeah, man, no, that's dumb, I can't believe they did that, oh my word, they're stupid, and I'm like, yeah, man, I'm gonna go up to them, and I'm gonna tell them, man, you look good today. Wait, what? What? No, have a good day. Wait, no, come on now. They offended you. They were wrong. They hurt you. They did something wrong. Yeah, you're right. You know what? I'm going to go up to them and I'm sorry. Wait, what? That's what it is. That's what it is. You don't know what they're going through and what caused them to act that way. You can't control things you can't control. You can only control yourself. And I can choose how I respond. It's gotten to the point now where, because I'm working at Culver's and I'm working with people, and I literally sometimes will pray somebody's having a bad day. Now you're going to like, nobody wants me to pray for them anymore. I get it. I'm not. Don't worry. It's not like I pray that for everybody. But I'm almost like, when I go into work today, I hope somebody's having a bad day. Just so I can go up to them and be like, hey, what's up? You look nice today. Good job on that. That was awesome. You're doing a phenomenal job. Just go up to them. Not like lying to them or nothing, but tell them, build them up. And then all of a sudden, I'll tell you what, because it's already happened multiple times. All of a sudden, later on, when we're clocked out, and they'll come up to me and be like, you have no idea what I went through today. And they'll tell me about their day. It's worth it. Swallowing my pride. When I just want to get angry at them and be like, why are you being so mean to me right now? Like, come on. I'm trying my best. I just started. I don't even know what I'm doing. Like, I mean, that's what I want to do. I mean, minus the crying, because I don't cry unless it's a video game. I realized I couldn't swing that one. But oh well. No, but swallowing it down, because guess what? Their need is greater than my comfort. Their need is greater than my pride. Because they're lost. I'll tell you, I don't know how many people I've ran into now that'll tell me, you're so nice. And I'm like, me? I'm not that nice, man. You got the wrong. I was like, what? You crazy, man. You crazy. No, the reason why I seem so nice to them is because they've never seen anything else. Everything else in their life is just me. Everything else in their life is just negative. Everything else in their life just hurts. And so just a smile and how's your day going? Oh, you're the nicest person in the world. I'm like, man, that's what God's love is about. That's what God's love is. I mean, we can look at this love. I got to get a drink first. Oh, it feels good. Okay. You know, we're in church, so we should probably use the Bible. And we're going to... My dad would be shaking his head right now. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13. Yeah, you guessed it. Yeah, because we're talking about God's love. So why not? Chapter 13 in 1 Corinthians. If you do not have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew rack in front of you. All righty. And if you do not own a Bible, or you own a Bible and it's like in the old English, and the end of everything, then steal that one, okay? Take that one home, put your name in it, it's yours. It's not a gift from us, it's a gift from God, okay? His word should be there for everybody, all right? So many times I want to like talk to people and they come up to me and they're like, I haven't been hearing God's voice lately. I don't know what he wants for this decision or what he says about this. And I'm like, well, have you been reading this lately? Because this is all his word. I'm not sure, you know. Oh, I haven't read that in like 2 years or since last Christmas. I'm like, well, you know, it's his word. If you wanted to, you know, hear from him, you know, it's... And they're like, well, I just wish he'd speak to me audibly. And I'm like, well, they do make audiobooks now. So you can go, I got to be honest, I made that one up on the spot. That felt good. Oh, tell the truth and shame the devil. Thank you, thank you, thank you. See, that one joke was better than my dad's jokes anytime. Anyway, I am funny. Okay, chapter 13, verse 4. I'm going to read this in whatever version my Bible is. I think it's like the old school NIV. And then I'm going to read it in the personal conviction version. I don't know if you guys own that one, but it's very simple. But first we'll do the normal, all right? So love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud, it is not rude. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That is the best. That's God's love. It's perfect. And no matter how much you love your spouse and how great your marriage is, I'm sorry, but we're human. It's not this. This is only God. This is His love. That's what it is. That's His goodness. that ability to go up to him and be like, hey, I messed up. I'm sorry. And he's like, you're forgiven. Go and sin no more. And then it's gone? Doesn't run, like, no record of wrongs? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? That's what? That's the one that always gets me. I'm like, you keep no record of wrongs. Like, not a grudge. You like, you don't remember when I did that? And he's like, what you talking about? Huh? Hmm? The only thing I know is my blood washes everything. What are you trying to tell me, son? And I'm like, well, you know, I don't understand that. Yeah, that's right. It's because I'm God. Oh, that's right. I'm not supposed to understand. I'm just supposed to experience. I'm supposed to believe and have faith. That's what it's about. So this love, if you want to ever check yourself, you want to check yourself. You're like, how am I doing with this? How is my life going right now? Do this. This is what I call the personal conviction translation. Okay? It's really simple. Okay? All you got to do is take love out and put your name in. So I'm going to read it one more time with my name. You read it with yours, not my name, because I don't need the judgment. You read it with yours. I'll read it with mine. Okay? Brock is patient. Brock is kind. Brock does not envy. Brock does not boast. Brock is not proud. Brock is not rude. Brock is not self-seeking. Brock is not easily angered. Brock keeps no record of wrongs. Brock does not delight in evil, but he rejoices with the truth. Brock always protects. Brock always trusts. Brock always hopes. Brock always perseveres. Man, it gets me. It gets me because I think, am I doing it? Am I doing that? How am I doing? Am I rude? Am I easily angered? Oh, yeah. I'm a hothead. Am I keeping records of wrongs? And I look at it, and it is, and I'll tell you this, the beauty of it. I'm going to explain this to you. The personal conviction translation. Too often times, Christians, we get caught in condemnation rather than conviction. Condemnation is to just kill you, okay? It's basically to destroy you and make you feel like a piece of garbage. Conviction, however, is to show you what is right and what is wrong so that you can start living right, so that you can be better. Conviction is done in love. Condemnation is done in hate. He didn't come to condemn the world. That's not what it's about. Let it be convicting so that we can get better. We can be transformed. Because the beauty of it is this. None of that is achievable by my own strength. You always hear that phrase, in my weakness, he makes me strong. And all this stuff. What does that mean? That doesn't make any sense. It's a paradox. Doesn't weak, strong, doesn't what? Come on. Explain this, please. Okay. First, you got to chug a Red Bull. No, I'm kidding. All right. So, what it is I come before God and I give it up to him. I give it up to him and I tell him and I go to him in humility and I tell him, God, I ain't good enough. I ain't got it. I'm rude. I'm self-centered. I'm angry all the time. I'm this and that. God, I need your help. I need your help. I know it's wrong. Change me. Transform me. And that's when it shows up. His love shows up. His goodness shows up. And it fills you up to a point of overflowing. And that is where it comes from to say, if he can get it to me, it's going to go right through me. And he's going to keep getting it to you. And he's going to keep pouring it out. And his love, his goodness, his grace, his mercy, all of that is going to keep pouring out on you. It's going to keep filling you up. It's going to fill you up till you just vomit love. Love. You just, if you're like me, you growl, you grunt, you yell. I'm a screamer, sorry. You just love. Like everywhere you go. It's just like the people like are pressing your buttons. They're poking you. And you're just like, love. It's just going to be everywhere. This is painting a really terrible picture in my mind. Just like, but do it in love, okay? Not real vomit. Let's be real. Gross. Sickness is going around. We don't need it. No, I'm telling you. Just having love pour out of you. And it all started, and it all starts in a moment of weakness, in a moment of humility, in a moment of responding to God's call. I brought up Sethi earlier, my man going to school, telling people about it. You want to know something else about youth convention? Is they had a Friday service, Saturday morning kind of service, Saturday night service, Sunday service. And they had multiple altar calls. Out of all the kids that I brought, he was the only kid to respond to an altar call. And that's not to shame the other kids, okay? Don't take it like that. That's not it. It's to show you that when you respond, it's going to overflow. It's going to overflow and he's going to use you. Will you be perfect? No. No, that's not it. But his love and his goodness is going to pour out on you and you're going to overflow. But you got to respond. You got to respond. You got to go to him. You got to ask for it. You got to ask, seek, knock. God's going to pour it out for you. That love, that grace, that goodness. Oh, it's so good. It's so great. There's nothing like it. So that I can go back and I can read that and I can put my name in there and I can say to myself, I'm getting closer. I'm getting closer. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. You can look at people and instead of seeing how they wronged me and all these different things, keeping a record of wrongs, instead you can figure out and see, I wonder what they're going through. I wonder what their story is. I wonder what it is. I wonder their pain and how I can love them. Not necessarily because I like them, but because God loved me first and I'm called to love people. If you didn't know that, I'm telling you now. You're called to love on people. You're called to share that with people. God's plan is bigger than our plan. Two services? How about three? Your plan, getting out of here on time, how about you running late because there's a traffic jam in a parking lot? You want to get here and find your nice, comfy little seat because you've been sitting there so long that, you know, the imprint of your behind is there and it's just perfect? Oh, you got to fight for it now. Ho, ho, ho. You got to fight for it. Man, how awesome would it be to see this place? Oh, packed, baby. That's what I'm talking about. My goodness. If these were chairs, I'd flip one, you know. You remember that? And I broke the light. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's in the youth room. Don't worry about it. I didn't break anything. We get a little rowdy, that's all. But see, we are blessed with the opportunity to be here and hear this message, hear about God's love, hear about his grace, hear about his mercy, and experience this. But realize this, there are countless people out there who are not getting that opportunity. And too often times it's because of the self-centered mentality. Too often times do we look at the cross and we think, oh, it's for my forgiveness. Yes, but it's also for the forgiveness of others. And too often I've been seeing people pray this prayer, Lord, use me. 2 months later, they're not in church anymore. Why aren't you in church anymore? I felt used. Wait a second. What was your prayer? Lord, use me. And then you left because you felt. The reason we're leaving, the reason we ain't coming, the reason we don't feel welcome is the exact thing we were praying for. Lord God, make me a bridge to the lost. 2 months later, you're gone. What happened? I just felt like people were walking all over me. Oh, what? See, if God's love shows up and his goodness is poured out on you and we start being a river and we start giving it to people and we start sharing it with people and people are coming, the burden for the lost, the love for the lost is greater than our own self-interest, our own comfortability. That's what it's about. God's love is so great. His plan is so much bigger. Forget your little boat. Start building an ark. Because I don't want you to get to heaven and get pat down and you got full pockets and a backpack and a suitcase and then another little carry-on thing and then another little... I don't want to see that. Finish the race like you got nothing left. Finish it like you got nothing left. It's too important to let people go by. I'm telling you, won't regret it. And I always tell my youth, don't overcomplicate it. I'm going to end up closing with this. I got one of seven closings, so this is going to be all right. So just don't get too excited. We still got time. I always tell my students, don't overcomplicate it when you invite somebody to church, okay? Don't overcomplicate it. It's really not that hard. So many people are thinking, like, out of obligation, they got to go up to somebody and be like, yo, so church is this, and then they're going to ask me about the creation of earth, and then they're going to ask me about what did Jesus draw in the sand, and they're going to ask you all these questions. I don't know the answer to any of those questions. I can't witness to somebody. I'll give you a secret. This is what I do when I invite somebody to church. You could take it or leave it. Do you want to go to church? There you go. That's it. That's it. That's all it takes. Oh, my word. Was that? That's all. That's too complicated. We can't do that. That can't be it. It's too simple. Nah. That's all it takes. Then they say yes or no. They got questions. Then you answer them. If you can't answer them, they say, I don't know. It's okay to not know. All it takes is, hey, you should come to church. Hey, you want to come to church? Or, you know, if you're texting, just church, question mark. That's it. It's that simple. Majority of the time, the question you'll probably get is, what time? And if you don't know the answer to that, hey, we got to take the bulletin, something. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't let that be your excuse for sharing the love of God. Don't let that be your excuse. It's not too difficult. I mean, it's kind of difficult to get yourself to, like, you know, there. God's love and goodness consumes you. Nothing's going to stand in your way. And I pray that for you. And I hope that for all of us, that we would truly experience His love and His grace and His mercy to a point of overflowing. To the point where you knew I was going to bring up Facebook at least once. To the point where, oh, I posted so many scriptures today. I posted so many, you know, encouraging little notes today for people. I messaged so many people on Facebook just, you know, inviting them to church. It was almost as many times as I posted about the election. I'll give that one a second. Okay. See, what our passion, what drives us, is what consumes us. Be consumed by His love. It's not just a Sunday thing. If it is, it's in your box, and it's not going anywhere. If you allow His love to just really consume you, it becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a lifestyle. Start praying people have bad days at work. Just so you can do something for them. Just so you can show up. I hope that boss is extra mean to me today. Just so I can... I was not looking at you, Cheyenne. I was just scanning the crowd. No, I hope that boss is really mean to me today. Just so I can be super nice to him. And everybody can see it. I hope. Give me an opportunity. That is the one prayer I guarantee you. I guarantee you. If you pray that prayer, God, give me an opportunity to witness. Give me an opportunity to love on somebody. That is the one prayer that I guarantee you, it'll get answered. If you ask once, He'll give you like five. Like, for every one prayer, you're going to get 10 opportunities, okay? I'm telling you, it's awesome. There was this guy I knew, and I'm closing with this. Sorry, I laugh every time I say that. There was this guy, and he was in a college ministry, and they started this accountability partner system kind of a thing, where you had to go and witness to somebody, invite them to church. And then you would go to your accountability partner and you talk about it. But every day you had to invite one person. And so he would invite someone every single day, any chance he got, or multiple people a day. You'd do everything you could. But there'd be those days where he gets home and he's like, oh no, I forgot, I didn't invite anybody. So he'd get his jacket on, he'd run down to the mart that was just down the block. This dude lived in New York. Or no, he went to college in Australia. Anyway, so he went down the block and he'd go to the mart and he'd be like, yo, Abdul! You want to go to church with me? Man, I told you I'm a Muslim, man. Okay, I was just checking. And then he would walk and he'd go back to his apartment just so he could call his accountability partner and say, I invited somebody. He invited Abdul to church like 100 times because on the days where he forgot, he'd go down to the mini mart, find Abdul, and be like, yo, you want to come to church? I'm a Muslim, man. Okay, I'm sorry, just checking. Then he'd go home. And I wish I had some cool wrap-up where all of a sudden he went to church and all that stuff, but I don't know the story, okay? But see, that's what it's about. I mean, that love, that passion, that drive of all of a sudden, oh, I got to invite somebody. I got one last story for you. Shirley, I love you. One last story in closing. I told you 7, so bear with me. This dude named Twin Twin. He was giant. He was so big, he needed 2 nicknames, Twin Twin. Okay? And he played basketball with this pastor. They didn't really know he was a pastor. He tried to keep that low because when, you know, even me, when I tell people, I'm like, I don't tell them I'm a pastor, you know, because people just get shut off right away sometimes. It's unbelievable. You know, I'll just say, oh, yeah, I work with youth, or, you know, I'm an agent of the king, you know, like, you know, but then you have to explain that, or I'm in construction, building the kingdom. You know, that kind of a thing. You know, you just come up with creative ways to tell them what you're into without ruining their relationship. Anyway, so this guy invited this pastor and said, Twin Twin invited the pastor and he said, I got this birthday party coming up. Oh man, it's going to be lit. Okay, it's going to be awesome. For those that don't know, it means awesome. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be cool. There's going to be girls, there's going to be drinks, there's going to be this, there's going to be that, there's going to be security. Anytime there's a party where they have to tell you that there is security at the party, don't go. Just a recommendation, not like I know from experience, I'm just saying. Probably not a great idea. But the pastor said to him, oh, I'm sorry, man, that's the same day that I got something else going on, and it was church. Yeah, a church service going on. He's like, I'm sorry, man. He's like, but hey, if you want to come to church sometime, and he's like, Twin Twin looked at him and he said, oh, man, you know what? I just got off the phone with my mama last night. She's been praying for me every day. I used to go to church when I was younger, but, man, I fell away. I thought God forgot about me. I woke up this morning just not knowing who I am. What was I seeking? What was I going to do in life? I had no purpose. I didn't even want to go to that dumb party. I mean, I just didn't know what I was going to do. I thought God forgot about me, but now that you bring this up, man, I know I got to go. So he skipped his own party and went to church, and the dude got saved. And understand this. The point of the story is you never know when it's going to be that final straw. You never know when you speaking up to somebody, you just loving on somebody, you just being there for somebody and reaching out is going to be the time that gets them there to experience that love, that goodness, that grace, that mercy. Quit being selfish with it. Quit being a swamp. Nobody wants a swamp. Smell bad and you got garbage. Be a river. Be a river. Let it flow through you. A river. Just remember that. Just like that, river. God's grace, his goodness, when it overwhelms you to the point it just overflows in loving other people, in shouting down a preacher, and getting excited and posting about it, and just doing all sorts of things. It's a lifestyle. It's more than just your box.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.